Morgan's at Myriad podcast series.
Hi, it's Chris Titley speaking here. As part of the Morgan's at Myriad podcast series, I'm joined by Shadi Rostami, VP of Engineering at Palo Alto Networks. Shadi, welcome to Brisbane.
Hi, Chris. It's very nice to be here. I'm very excited to come to your beautiful city.
Thank you. And you're straight off the Myriad airplane. Can you tell us a little bit about that experience?
Yeah, it was amazingly interesting. You know, I would not have imagined an airline letting all of these people walking around and talking and no restriction, whether you're in economy or business or upstairs or downstairs. And everybody was, there was so much energy among the crowd. Everybody was chatting. They were all sharing the great ideas that they had, and they were giving positive energy to each other. It was an amazing experience.
And speaking of energy, have you got any now, or are you a bit tired from the flight?
I after, you know, talking for a few hours, at some point they made us sit down to eat dinner. They really had to work hard to make us sit and eat dinner. And then I had a little bit of a nap on the flight, and then I got to the hotel. I'm still a little bit tired and jet lagged, but I think there's a lot of energy still in me from the flight.
And a big week ahead. Shadi, can you tell us a little bit about your background and how you joined the company in 2007?
Sure. I actually, if I go back in time, I was born in Tehran, Iran, in a middle-class family. And, you know, I was lucky that my parents always, you know, had great ambitions for me. They taught me to think big and push the boundaries, and you can achieve anything that your brother can. It was always like that, and I was very fortunate. And as a young girl, I was always trying to dream big. That was, you know, my dream. And as I, you know, grew up and, you know, went to high school and middle school, you know, like any teenager, you want to rebel. And my rebellion was to prove that girls are as smart as boys. So, and, you know, in a country that kind of tells your face that you're not as good or you're not as smart, that was how I was doing it. And I remember when I was when I was in high school, there was a competition among all of these high schoolers. It was a big deal at the time in Iran. It's called the Olympiads. It was for geeky students, of course. So, and it was always boys who went to that. And I was the first girl who got the gold medal in the country and went to Sweden, to Stockholm, to compete in the international one. And this was an amazing experience, you know, meeting all the other geeky kids from everywhere else in the world, competing, you know, win a medal. But I think what was more exciting for me to just know that I have pushed the boundaries and girls can follow. And actually after me, lots of other girls got to that competition. They got better medals than me, and it was very, very exciting to be there. So I got my bachelor's degree in computer engineering because I really like programming in Iran. And then I left Iran in 1998 and went to Canada in Vancouver to do my PhD. Actually, I was telling one of my friends that this morning I had a little bit of walk in Brisbane along the river, and it reminded me a lot of Vancouver. Ooh. The city seemed like it's a very nice, beautiful city like Vancouver. And so I did my PhD there. It was a great time. And after that, during my PhD, I got exposed to security, and I realized that I really like it and I want to be in that field. And, you know, like any other PhD student, toward the end of your study, you always debate whether I should stay in academia or go to industry. Mm-hmm. And I was debating with myself, but I realized that I really like to solve interesting problems that really matter. And I'm a very impatient person, so I want to see the result of my product soon. I'm sure there's great things happening in research, but it might take a little bit longer. And I was not that patient. So I decided I want to go to industry. And I talked with people, and I got great advice that if you want to push boundaries and break the barriers, like your life, that's what startups are doing. You know, they dream big and they go do that. Sometimes they're successful, sometimes they're not. So I decided to join startups. Actually, in a couple of them, I work really hard, maybe 80 hours a week, 100 hours a week, while I had two little girls at home. But the companies were not successful. You know, I think the technology was very good. I'm an engineer, so you know, I feel like that we made the best product, but it wasn't successful. However, I joined Palo Alto in 2007, and that was one of the other lucky points of my life. I remember when I joined Palo Alto, There were about 30 people. We used to go out to lunch, all of us together. And now the company has grown so much. We are about 5,000 people. It's an $18 billion company, market cap. And it's been an amazing journey being with the company and seeing the growth and all the problems that we've solved.
That's an amazing story. In terms of you mentioned there nearly $20 billion US market, but to put it into the top 20 companies here in Australia locally. When you joined in 2007, did you ever think that it would be so big and grow so quickly?
No, actually, I think one of the things that I feel like that I have been lucky because I worked in startups that didn't make it, weren't successful. So I didn't assume that all the companies are going to be, so lucky and so successful. So when I joined, yes, I know I said, I'll go to this team. Actually, one thing that I did that was different, I looked at the founder and the history of them. And they had good track records. Nir, who was our founder, he has worked in other startups, he has built, he was a serial entrepreneur. And he's one of those people that feels like there is a problem, we need to solve it, let's go and do that. So I joined there. I said, okay, I'm going to work hard, do my best, and we'll see what happens.
and going out to lunch with those 30 people back in 2007, has the culture changed much, if 5,000 people?
It's a very interesting question, actually. One of the things that I really liked joining Palo Alto is the culture, that sense of ownership. That, you remember, I used to go to my VP at the time, and I would ask him a question, shall I do this? Shall I hire this person? Shall I do that? And he would tell me, Shadi, think about it. If it was your own money and your own company, what would you do? And you know the answer. You don't need to come and ask me. And that sense of ownership that, existed among everybody, I think that was very, very great over there. And as we grow, of course, as you're scaling, you need to add more people and you need to grow and solve more problems. We really try to keep that culture the same. One of the other things that I really felt like that it was great, we always said that we don't like jerks. We don't like smart jerks. We are all smart people. We're all working together and creating. And there was no ego, right? It was just we're solving problem. And I felt like that you can see it's still there and we are really trying to hard. I really believe that people leave, but the culture stays. So if you build the right culture, the company can grow well. And I think that's what differentiates successful companies from not so successful ones.
Absolutely. And the problems that you're solving now, generically, are they broadly similar to what was happening in 2007? Or has this cybersecurity just transformed into a roller coaster of solving problems every day?
Yes, that's a very good question. When we started at the beginning, it was about focusing on network security, which usually people put a firewall in front of their enterprise network to make sure what is coming and what is going out. At the time, we said the firewall is not working. It's time to fix the firewall. And that's how we started, because the way people were using the internet and the network has changed, and the firewall hasn't changed. It was very, traditional ways, and everybody was coming through. So there was a lot of holes in the firewall. So we tried to solve that by adding some technology. But after that, I always say security is a little bit of a cat and mouse game. The adversaries get smarter, you get smarter, then they get smarter, and it goes on. So we solved that one, and we always say the mission of our company is that we want to prevent successful cyber attacks so we can keep our way of life, because we're all depending so much on technology. You've probably heard all the breaches that have happened at Equifax and Sony and all of those things. If that continuously happens, a lot of money is lost, a lot of personal information is lost, and that's going to basically impact the way that we trust the companies to do it. So the trust is really impacted. So that's the core of what we are trying to solve. However, to achieve that, we have to do different things. First, we started with network security. Then we said, no, that's not enough, because if you secure the network, the bad guys can get through other paths. They can get to somebody's laptop or to the cloud. So we said, no, we need to, security is not a point solution. We have to be on the network as well as the endpoint, as well as the cloud. So we did that, and we also said that we need to, the network, the firewalls and the endpoint are great places for detecting and enforcing, you know, actions and policies, but we need to give more intelligence to them. And we created our cloud services, which kind of like a brain for the firewalls or the endpoints. You know, we use machine learning, we use a lot of behavioral detections to detect zero-day attacks, the new attacks that are happening. And with that, we can secure all of these places and protect our customers. So we did that. And I think we protected a lot of customers. But as I said, the bad guys are very motivated. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of money that they can make. Some of them are state sponsors. So there's a lot of automation happening on their side. And one of the recent thing that we've been talking about is the fact that we cannot solve this problem alone. It's not just one company's way to solve it. So how can we enable others to join us to solve that? So we have created this platform. We are everywhere. And how can we create an ecosystem so that if there are a couple of wonderful, smart people with the great ideas, it makes it easy for them to develop an application or something so that they can protect the customer. And so if you look at it, we've gone through different stages, and every time we kind of disrupted ourselves. We had a solution, it was working, but it's not enough. So let's do it again. And I think that's one of the important things that we all have to do, because if we don't disrupt ourselves, somebody else would do, right? The problems, the landscape is changing all the time. So we have done a lot of levels, and I really hope that in this last stage, this stage that we are right now in, by creating this platform and this framework, we call it application framework, so that we are the ones who collect the logs from all of our customers. We pull them in our cloud environment, and then we enable other people, whoever is excited about security or want to do big data analysis, they can use this data and provide intelligence back to the customer. So they can develop an app on our platform. And that way, if you are a CSO of a company and you want to buy application A or application B, all you have to do is click a button. You don't have to disrupt your network, put things on the network. And that way, it can help evaluate and decide what is the right solution for you, and help, and everybody, we are all teaming up together to basically work against the adversaries and the bad guys and protect the customer.
Do you think at an enterprise level, the company's board of directors, for instance, are really acknowledge the importance of cybersecurity and the brand risk associated? And you mentioned some companies there that have had attacks. Do you think that issue is very high on the agenda, or is it low and it's getting higher as you see more breaches, etc.?
I think it is high, and it's getting higher, because any of these successful breaches, it's very, very costly for enterprises. And if you look at the amount of investment that they're making, the growth in cybersecurity is higher than the rest of the growth in the IT in the industry and the companies, because it is going to impact the way they operate. If they're not successful, people would not basically use their services, and that is happening, I believe so.
And Shadi, in terms of the cat and mouse, you might see some people that have worked for various security firms then go on to do other things. And working with the ecosystem that you mentioned, how hard is it to keep ahead?
From the bad guys?
Yes.
I really think, security is becoming a big data problem. Actually, lots of things in our lives becoming a big data problem. If you collect data, then you can come up with, for example, an example of it is something we call user behavior anomalies. So you want to detect if Chris is doing something different today than what he was doing yesterday, for example. So, if you look at the behavior of all the activities that Chris was doing every day, and then today you see that, no, he's actually connecting to the server that holds the source code and is downloading everybody's source code, maybe he's up to something bad. Or Or for example, Chris always comes and connects to, I don't know, engineering web servers, and now today he's connected to the finance department. That's something fishy. Maybe somebody
sounds like Chris doesn't know what he's doing.
No, it might be that somebody actually hacked. Yeah. Chris might have been hacked without knowing, yeah. And now when a virus or a malware gets into the network, to be really successful, it had to do lateral movement. It had to get to the assets of the company. Being a user by itself, it cannot. But when it can get to the finance department and get the data of a finance a couple of days before we announce the numbers, then with that data, you can go make a lot of money,
yeah,
right?
Can, yeah. Yes. Illegally. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's what you can see. So this is becoming a kind of a big data problem. You can create the behavior of a user and detect anomalies and report that. So yes, there is a lot of work, and you know, people, you know, there are a lot of smart people in the world. I think if they put the brain together and they feel like how we can detect these problems, how can we create this thing, they can solve a lot of security. But yes, it's continuous. It's not going to end.
It's not going to end, and that's right. That sector's certainly, in terms of a macro trend, is not dying. It's not a one-off sector or a hot fad bubble of Silicon Valley, for instance.
Exactly.
And speaking of working in the Valley for a long period of time and seeing some associated companies, the Facebooks, the Amazons, the Netflix just grow from a bit like Palo Alto, from nothing to where they are now. What's the atmosphere like? What's the energy like?
You know, it is. I moved actually. I used to live in Vancouver, and I moved to Bay Area in 2007. I always say that if you go to a pub or somewhere, if you talk to somebody, 90% is an engineer. That's the culture, right? Everybody over there, they're solving problems. And I think that's a great culture, because you get excited, somebody's solving an interesting problem, you're solving another problem. And if you look at all of these companies, the Facebooks and the Netflix, you see the energy. When you talk to people, people are so excited about what they're doing, you know. And, you know, Netflix started from a renting DVD, and now it's all streaming, right? And they have solved a lot of hard technical problem to be able to achieve that. So it's a lot of energy and a lot of pushing the boundaries. We are going to do something different. You don't, you know, there is, if you look at, for example, Tesla, it's, you know, somebody told me that it's not a car that has computer, it's actually a computer that has wheels. So that's the way things are changing. It's all about we're solving problems in this day and age by using technology.
And Shadi, you're out here for the Myriad Festival. What brought you out here, and what do you think, or expectations of Brisbane and the ecosystem that we're developing here?
Yeah, I actually, I was told by a colleague that this is a great event. We want to promote entrepreneurship. We want to make, you know, the country and the province is trying to promote that, bring people together. And I truly believe that a lot of great ideas happen when people talk to each other and get that energy from each other. So, for example, if you look at a lot of companies, they create office space in a way that when you want to go have lunch, you actually run into different people, because they feel that if you run into people, if you just have a chat with them, that's where great ideas come from. And I think this is a much bigger scheme of the same idea, that get smart people together, get them talk to each other, and you know, great ideas
in the one place at the one time, like the plane, for instance. And then
exactly.
On this week we'll have 5,000 people doing the same thing. Same, so hopefully yeah. Something will come of it. One final question for you, in terms of some advice that you can give to either aspiring entrepreneurs or startup founders, or perhaps some business acumen that you've lived your life by.
Yes, as I said, I worked in a few startups that didn't make it. And I realized that sometimes as an engineer or as a technology person, you feel like, you think that technology is everything. But for a company to be successful, it's not just the technology. I always say it takes a whole village. It takes the positioning, the marketing, the sales guys, all of them need to work together. It's a lot of team effort from everybody to make it to make a successful company. So you should respect and you should ask for help. If you're an engineer, you might not be the best person to do the sales, or you might not be the best person to do the finance work. So you should team up, get the great people, and with that team, you can be successful, basically.
Shadi, thank you so much for coming and taking your time out directly from the Myriad plane, and congratulations on your career thus far, and look forward to seeing the progress of Palo Alto Networks going from a $20 billion company to a $100 billion company, etc. And I really appreciate your time, and welcome to Brisbane.
Thank you so much. I'm very happy to be here. Thank you.